Hello again, friends and neighbors, followers of Jesus, aspiring disciples. Amen. It's Pastor Bob, and we're coming to you again from the broadcasting studios on St. Philip Drive in Lexington, Kentucky. It's a Monday, September the 20th, and it's episode number 43. Of your daily respite. This week we are covering Father Richard Rohr's week of devotions from his own daily devotional. And as we learned from yesterday, if you ended up getting that devotional late last night, if not, it's somewhere in your inbox. We started Richard Rohr's weekly theme, What Do We Do With Money? What do we do with money? And today's topic, on Monday, the topic is, we cannot serve two masters. Maybe you've heard that before. We cannot serve two masters. And Father Richard here continues his reflections on money as he considers one of Jesus's most challenging statements. Let's center our hearts and be still and quiet. Enough so we can feel the presence of God around us. And let's take our ears and pin them to our hearts and listen for what God has to say. We cannot serve two masters. Here's Father Richard. Many of us, myself included, have a confused, guilt-ridden, obsessive attitude about money. There's hardly anybody who can think in a clear-headed way about it. At the end of Luke's parable of the so-called dishonest steward, Jesus creates a clear dualism between God and wealth, or what he calls mammon. Check out your translation of Luke 16:13. Luke chapter 16, verse 13. Jesus says, "You cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon was the god of wealth, money, superficiality, and success. Jesus says, in effect, you've finally got to make a choice. Most of Jesus' teaching is what I call non-dual, a theme I often teach. But there are a few areas where he's absolutely dualistic. That means either or. And it's usually anything having to do with power, and anything having to do with money. Jesus is absolute about money and power because he knows what we're going to do. Most of us will serve this god called mammon. Luke's gospel even describes mammon as a type of illness. As Jesuit John Haughey explained, mammon is not simply a neutral term in Luke. It is not simply money. It connotes disorder. Mammon becomes then a source of disorder because people allow it to make a claim on them that only God can make. Mammon illness. Mammon illness takes over when we think all of life is about counting, weighing, measuring, oh yes, and deserving. We go to places that have sales so that we don't have to give as much to get the same thing. My mother spent much of her time cutting coupons to save 10 cents. It was good and even necessary for a while, I guess. But it's very hard to get rid of that fixation. To participate in the reign of God, we have to stop counting. We have to stop weighing, measuring, and deserving in order to let the flow of forgiveness and love flow through us. The love of God can't be doled out by any process whatsoever. We can't earn it. We can't lose it. As long as we stay in this world of earning and losing, will live in perpetual resentment, envy, or climbing. Religion cannot work from a calculator without losing its very method, mind, foundation, and source. Surely this is what Jesus meant by his statement in Luke's gospel. Perhaps if we say it a bit differently, we can all get the point. Try this, quote, "You cannot move around inside the world of infinite grace and mercy and at the same time be counting and measuring with your overly defensive and finite little mind," unquote. It would be like asking an ant to map the galaxies. St. Therese of Lisieux put it much more directly to a nun worried about God keeping track of her many failings. She said this, quote, "There is a science about which God knows nothing. Addition," unquote. The reign of God is a worldview of abundance. God lifts us up from a worldview of scarcity to infinity. Remember, every part of infinity is still infinite. God's love is nothing less than infinite. Let us pray. Loving God, we fill all things with a fullness and hope that we can never comprehend. Thank you for leading us into a time where more of reality is being unveiled for us all to see. We pray that you will take away our natural temptation for cynicism, denial, fear, and despair. Help us have the courage to awaken to greater truth, greater humility, and greater care for one another. May we place our hope in what matters and what lasts, trusting in your eternal presence and love. Now, O God, listen to our hearts' longings for the healing of our suffering world. Knowing, good God, that you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer these prayers in all the holy names of God. Amen.